How are we doing, everybody? Welcome to another installment of the Prospect Report, presented by prospectsworldwide.com. My name, as always, is Drake Mann, and I have my weekly Arizona Complex League report for you this week. And this week was a little bit of a doozy. It was pretty interesting week in terms of prospects I was able to see, games like the one yesterday I saw, and I'll go over all of that. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy learning about some prospects that might be risers, might be top prospects, or something that you could have in your dynasty league. I don't know. I don't really play dynasty, or I'm barely a fantasy person, but hope you enjoy this and hope everybody is doing well. But basically, to start this, I just want to talk about the teams that I was able to see this week. From 6'4 to 6'10, because today is 6/11 or June 11th. And pretty much that is basically my window, would be that Monday to this Monday. That Tuesday to this Monday. And the teams that I was able to see were the Rangers, Mariners, Giants, Rockies, Cubs, and Brewers. And both the Mariners and Cubs I got to see twice this week. So there was a few guys that really got me hyped up. And let's just start off here by congratulating a top prospect that's out here with the Milwaukee Brewers. Filippo Dituri, if I said that wrong, pardon me. But he has been called up to Low-A Carolina. He is no longer with the Arizona Complex League Brewers. Awesome season for him. He looked really good out here. Continued to just rake. Last time, I remember talking about him my last time, and I said, I don't know how much longer he'll be out here. So I think he was here another week, and he's already at Carolina. So that's really cool for him. And the last time I saw him, he was 3/4 the way to the cycle. So hope for continued success with Filippo Dituri. And I hope don't torch the Cardinals too much, because I am a Cardinals fan. But yeah, it is pretty cool to watch him, or it'll be interesting to see his development going forward, especially how much he'll rise on top prospect lists and how much he'll rise actually this year. He could even make it to IA. I mean, his tools are pretty good for his age. So I do have three top bats that I wanted to talk about today. Two of them are Cubs, one of them is going to be Rangers, and then as always I will have top bats that I did not mention as a top three bat that I have on my list. And then I'll go into a couple pitching performances. Now this week, neither of the pitching performances that I'm going to talk about were that good, but it's all about the stuff with these two guys and what they could turn into going forward. And then obviously I'll end with a team to watch this week, and then I'll end the podcast. But starting off with my first prospect out here that has really looked good, has really opened my eyes to how good he can be. I've seen him three times now, and basically every time he has gotten a base hit. But I'm talking about Cubs 2023 seventh round pick Yahiel Melendez, and he is 18 years old, and he's currently slashing 294, 362, 482 with an 844 OPS, a 386 weighted on base average, and a 111 weighted runs created plus. Now, if you do follow Prospects Worldwide on Twitter, and if you're not, go ahead, go follow us on Twitter. We are Prospects World W. That is our at on Twitter. But he had an inside the park home run against the Rockies. I think it was Thursday night. I don't normally drive that far to Mesa because I live in Glendale. And for those people that don't know Arizona that well, Glendale to Mesa is about a 30-minute drive. But then when you factor in rush hour, it turns from a 30-minute drive to probably about 50 to an hour drive. But let's just say that I left for the game 55 minutes early, expecting traffic. I didn't get there till after the game started, and I was 10 minutes late to the game. against the Rockies when the Cubs were home. But anyway, enough about me. Let's just talk about Melendez here for a second. Like I said, three times I've seen him, all three times he's gotten a hit. Really nice bat speed. Love the short, quick bat path that he has. And he finds the barrel extremely well. I haven't seen too much over the fence power, but his gap to gap power is pretty crazy. But he is something of the Cubs out here are pretty stacked. They have a couple really nice players, and I'll get to that later. But yeah, Melendez is honestly up there with Angel Cepeda as the best prospect out here for the Cubs. And speaking of Cepeda, he's number two on my list. And he is also 18 years old. He is hitting 337, 385, 528 with a 914 OPS, a 419 weighted on base average, and a 130 weighted runs created plus. And last night would be the third time I saw him as well. And he is one of the better prospects out here. I know that there's a lot of hype around him. A lot of Cubs fans, a lot of fantasy dynasty people are hyped on Angel Cepeda. But it's not just offensively with Cepeda. I love him offensively. He hit a triple down the left field line, which is also on Prospect Worldwide's Twitter. But it was a ball down the left field line, and he actually ended up on third. So he does have some speed to his game. But something that impressed me was his exchange on a ground ball. So it was a slow ground ball. He gathers it, quick exchange to first, and gets the out. Now, I don't think that he sticks, because this one where this was, he was at third base when he did this, but he's naturally a shortstop. I don't think he sticks at either, because his range isn't the best and neither is his arm strength, but I could definitely see him sticking a second long term. And it was actually kind of funny, because yesterday one of the fans was actually talking to him and talking about where he'll be long term, and he actually probably did say second base. So I could definitely see that. I could see him being a top of the lineup bat. I love, like, much like Melendez, love the swing path, nice, quick, through the ball, loves going the opposite way. Really, really solid prospect out here. And he just looks so good on both sides of the ball. And he's another guy that I don't know how much longer he'll be out here, because he is torching the ACL right now. And on to torching the ACL, we go to number three on my list is Braylon Morrell. And this is a guy that I have now seen quite a bit, and I've talked about him a little bit before. But Braylon Morrell is a guy, high swing and miss rates, breaking balls down give him a lot of trouble. But when he makes contact, I really have started to see more and more raw power in his bat. But another 18-year-old on this list, and he's currently slashing 275, 344, 488 with an 832 OPS, a 378 weighted on base average, and a 106 weighted runs created plus. And at Peoria Sports Complex, where I saw him play this week, dead center field is 410 feet. And for those of you that don't know, the Mariners and Padres are the ones that are at Peoria Sports Complex. But 410 feet away. And it's actually kind of funny, because Justin Foskey was out here on rehab, and he was on first when the first hit that I saw Braylon Morrell have was a bullet to center field, and he one-hopped that 410 fence. Justin Foskey didn't read it well and only got to second. So Braylon Morrell only got a single out of that, which is, you know, kind of BS, but it's whatever. But later in the game, he almost went yard again, but it was a triple into the left center gap. And again, it was really close to that 410 sign. So the raw power in his bat is just really nice to watch. And I think I already had my Felton and Celestin report done and posted to Prospects Worldwide. Hope some of you guys enjoyed that. But I think I'm going to write one on Braylon Morrell. I'm going to write one on Philippe. Excuse me. Sorry. I'm very tired. I've been working quite a bit lately. But Filippo Dituri, I'll get one up on him. Probably a couple more guys. I want to try to get one up for every team from Arizona Complex League this year. But if not, I'll just have my list like I do every year. But yeah, Braylon Morrell, loved the combination of speed, power to his game. And he just needs to understand strike zone more and work on his eye. And that then he'll really turn into a really good prospect going forward for the Rangers. And now after that, we're just going to transition a little bit to the top bats not mentioned. And for the Mariners, I did not want to put him as a top bat because I think I've talked to everyone's ears off about Felnes Ellison. But I feel like he needs to be talked about a little bit more because I do have some interesting speculation that, like, again, it's just all speculation on my end. But I'm really wondering why he's still out here because he's 18 years old. He's currently slashing 309, 398, 485 with an 833 OPS, a 412 weighted on base average, and a 126 weighted runs created plus. Excuse me. Basically, like in my notes, I just said I've talked everyone's ears off about Felnes Ellison. That's why he's not in my top hitters. But he faced a rehabbing Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray struck out every single batter that he faced, except for Felnes Ellison. It was an outside fastball at 95 miles an hour, and Ellison just flicked his hands to it and lined it right down the right field line. Probably one of the best hits that I observed in person this entire week was that, because crazy for any 18-year-old to take a former Cy Young and line a ball down the right field line. And next game, he actually tripled into the left center gap and again, just flicked the wrist and he lined it in the gap. It was just kind of crazy to see him just adjust well, line a ball the other way twice. And not only does that 95 from Robbie Ray mean that Robbie Ray is healthy, but it means that Felnes Ellison can hit velo, and he adjusts well to velo, which is a big step in the right direction for Felnes Ellison. But I did kind of foreshadow some speculation, and I'm wondering why he's still at Complex League. And my speculation here is maybe they want to see a little more power out of Ellison, because the times I've seen him, it's been a lot of ground balls, like finding holes, a lot of line drives, but we're not seeing a lot of over the fence power, which I graded him out as like a 50. So that'd be around 20 to 24 home runs a year, which if you get that, which I did grade his hit as a 65, which not a lot of teams use, but 65 would be around a 300 hitter, a 300 to, yeah, around like a 300 to 305 hitter, which if you get that from Ellison with his athleticism and what he has been doing this year, if that continues going forward, the Mariners have a really special prospect on their hands in Felnes Ellison. But what I will do is I will shut myself up because, I want this to be more for you guys, for the people listening to this. I will now shut up about Felnes Ellison. I will stop talking about him because I have literally talked so much about him. It's not even crazy. But we're going to go on to the Cubs now. And I want to talk about it'd be a first impression type of thing because I have not seen him yet. But it'll be Joan Delgado. Hopefully I said that right. But he is 19 years old and he's currently slashing 349, 446, 667 with a 1.113 OPS, a 494 weighted on base average, and a 173 weighted runs created plus. He takes really good at bats for his age, and this is just my first impression. And he did show some power, ripping a three-run home run to left field. And also, for those of you that don't follow us on Twitter, it was probably one of the best plays I've caught on camera. But he's hitting. And the guy pitching was pretty wild. And I think he almost hit him earlier in the at bat. But this time, a ball was thrown a little bit higher up and in. He ducks, but his bat did not come with him. The ball ended up hitting the bat, and it was like a perfect bunt, even though it wasn't a bunt, down the third baseline, and he ended up reaching on a RBI infield single with Yahiel Melendez actually coming in to score from second on the same play. So that's pretty crazy to me that it was a perfect, like, bunt, but it hit his bat when he didn't even mean it to hit his bat. It was just funny just watching him because he had no idea where it was and all of his teammates were telling him to run, and he does, and he did, and he beat it out. So crazy. Absolutely crazy stuff out here at Complex League. And for you Arizona people, if you guys live next to a spring training facility, go to these games. These are fun games. Like, they're free to go to. They let anybody in. And it's kind of fun just being really close to the players and being able to sometimes even talk to them, depending on if they're willing to talk to you or not. But let me just keep going here because I don't want to get too off topic. But yeah, for you Arizona people, try to go to these games. They're fun. And sometimes even they have a full setup there. They have walk-up songs. They have actual, like, in-between innings music, stuff like that. But let me just move on here. I'm going to go now to the Brewers. And this one will be a second-year Arizona Complex League player, but he was drafted in 2023. So it's second-year Arizona Complex League player, but was drafted 15th round in 2023. And I'm probably going to butcher this name, but if I don't, I might actually... Josh Adam Zawinski. It is a really small sample size, but he's hitting very well so far. Hitting 417, 611, 667 with a 1.278 OPS, a 591 weighted on base average, and a 229 weighted runs created plus. It's only like 12 at bat sample size, but he's looked really good out here to start, you know, his own Arizona Complex League season. And it's actually more like 18 plate appearances. But first time seeing him this year, I saw him one game last year, but it was like a strikeout and a ground out or something. It really wasn't that impressive, but it's the first time seeing him this year. And his approach is very passive at the plate. He wants to draw out a plate appearance. He wants to get a walk. He wants to sit there and look for his pitch. But something that he's good at is going the other way and making adjustments. There was a big part of the game yesterday where he was up, I think it was bases loaded or first and second. Might have been first and second. He got a pitch and he fouled it back and he knew he missed it. You could tell on his face that he missed it. The very next pitch, he laces the ball the other way for a double. An RBI double. It was 16, making like 16, 13 or something. I'm hoping to get more footage on Adam Zawinski going forward, but the Brewers do this a lot where they put their draft picks into Arizona Complex League for one, like, you know, half a year, whatever it is. But now with the new rules and new regulations with, or I'd say the new time period, that's probably a better thing to say. I don't know how much longer they'll do that, but with Adam Zawinski, he's kind of like a Dylan O'Rey or Eric Bettanti, where they were out here a year previous, and then they stayed in Arizona Complex League to get more development before being sent to low A. And it's been working so far with Dylan O'Rey, and Bettanti's looked really good out here. So it's just a matter of time before Adam Zawinski ends up at low A, but they might actually keep him out here because, like I said, that's what they did with Dylan O'Rae, and they just want him to be completely good tool-wise before they send him up to low A. But Josh Adam Zawinski will be a really interesting player to watch going forward, especially because the Brewers are very good at developing talent, and it seems like every year they have some of the best guys out here for Arizona Complex League. All right, next on my list is someone that I believe I've talked about as well for the Rangers, because I have seen the Rangers quite a bit out here, but I don't think I've talked about him for a while. But Maxton Martin is the guy I'm going to go for the Rangers. Currently, he's slashing 260, 321, 416 with a 737 OPS, a 344 weighted on base average, and 87 weighted runs created plus. And in my notes here, I've seen him multiple times. And something that he does very well is I think I said prior, but barreling the ball, really good at that. And just the ball that comes, the sound that comes off of his bat is something that is very crazy. And the one thing is with his load, it's super reminiscent to somebody. I've been trying to pinpoint it the entire time. He has this like bigger bat wiggle that he does. It's kind of like Gary Sheffield, but not Gary Sheffield. But Gary Sheffield's was a lot more distinct. But Martin has this little bat wiggle. It kind of looks like Aaron Hicks. But then I was watching some Matt Holliday highlights, and it's like a left-handed Matt Holliday, where it's not like the load is very similar to Matt Holliday with a little leg kick, hands drop a little bit, and then he goes and hits and swings. It's very interesting to see that from Maxton Martin too, because I just sat there and when I was watching his actual swing mechanics, I was sitting there, I was like, this reminds me of somebody, and I have no idea, like, it's not coming to mind, but I know somebody that did something like that. But Maxton does have more moving parts than Matt Holliday. As if you guys remember, Matt Holliday, very quiet in the box, not a lot of like moving parts. But I do have some that, actually, we'll start with the good news and then kind of factor in the bad news. But I observed a two-hit day, and he has looked good all ACL. But he ended up getting hurt, and he needed to be helped off the field, sliding into second on the June 5th game against the Mariners. He hasn't played since, so I'm hoping he's back before the end of ACL. I haven't seen anything on what is wrong with him. I haven't seen like anything on that, right? Like lately. So I've been trying to look it up to see what happened to him, but yeah. The Rangers have a bunch of prospects out here that look really good, and Maxton Martin has looked really good. So the numbers maybe not show that, but I think he'll be a good prospect going forward for the Rangers. Now, moving on to the Rockies. And the Rockies, there was a slight pitching collapse when the Cubs faced the Rockies. Then they had to throw a position player, the Cubs did. And it was quite entertaining to watch that. But the Rockies had a two-hit day from a prospect, Baron Ledesma. And currently he is slashing 276, 323, 379 with a 702 OPS, a 333 weighted on base average, and an 80 weighted runs created plus. And like I said, he has a two-hit day. I don't see a lot of power in his bat. I mean, he might turn into like a decent gap-to-gap power guy, but he looks more like a light-hitting, like ground ball through the hole speed type of guy. But something that was really interesting with him was he kept on trying to bunt for a hit, or just bunt in general. Like, he wasn't fully committed to swinging the bat. But when he did, he ended up tripling and then singling through the left side. So it is kind of interesting to see that once he, like, you know, swings the bat more and stuff like that. But so, yeah, he's more like a light hitting prospect in this system. He's kind of like a Dante Grant with the Padres. Has some speed, good defensively, has looked good out here. But he's just kind of like a wild card because you don't know really how his bat will play at the next level. But, yeah, that's just my first impression of him because that was the first time I've seen him. And finally, we go to the Giants. And I don't know if I'm like a curse or something, but every time I go see the Giants, I, for some reason, they just forget how to hit. I'm just saying, don't get mad at me, Giants fans. But every time I go there, it's constant strikeouts. It's constant, except for once. The one time that they won a game was like 16-10 or something over the Cleveland Guardians. But the last couple times I've seen them, it's been like strikeout, ground out, ground out, ground out, like losing like 5-1, stuff like that. But I'm going to go with Lisbel Diaz, who is currently slashing 372, 442, 605 with a 1.047 OPS, a 468 weighted on base average, and a 158 weighted runs created plus. And Lisbel is more of a free swinging prospect. Breaking balls down, give him trouble. But the energy that he brings to the lineup is kind of crazy. Like, the last time I saw him, not this time, but I think I saw him previously, I think against the D-backs, he walked in a big spot and he got super pumped up, clapped his hands together, like trying to get everybody, trying to get the energy to go back up and try to get his team on top. But there is something really intriguing about Lisbel, is that he does have a two strike stance change. It's not too like distinct, I will say. It's just one little change that he does. So basically, in his original like first pitch stance, he has his hands away from his body. He kind of looks like Marcelo Ozuna with his stance, if you guys know or see Marcelo Ozuna open side. But when he gets two strikes, that bat then makes contact with his shoulder and it does not move from there. It'll stay there. Basically, I think that's there to help bat speed, help keep his hand to the ball, and just sit there and make it easier to put the ball in play and not strike out. But I think that overall he's one of the Giants' better prospects out here, and I'm actually going to go see the Giants tonight. And as a matter of fact, June 11th, I'm going to go see the Giants tonight against the Padres. Because I have work, but then I can immediately go to a game afterwards. So, but yeah, I'm hoping to get some nice open side footage tonight for you guys. But to recap, my top bats for this week were Yahiel Melendez of the Cubs, Angel Cepeda of the Cubs, and Braylon Morel of the Rangers. And not mentioned were Felman Celestin of the Mariners, Joan Delgado of the Cubs, Josh Adam Zawinski of the Brewers, Maxton Martin of the Rangers, Baron Ledesma of the Rockies, and Lisbel Diaz of the Giants. Now, the pitchers for this week, and like I was saying, neither of these performances were really outstanding, but what impressed me the most was the stuff that was being shown and the amount of bite that was being thrown on breaking balls. And yeah, but the first one, I finally was able to see Walter Ford, who is a Mariners top pitching prospect. And in his outing, he went 3 innings, 5 hits, 3 earned, 3 walks, and a strikeout. What's interesting to me is Walter Ford normally has very solid command. When I saw him, he had no command. It was kind of, I wouldn't say no command. I'd say probably like subpar command, like below average command. But I honestly think it's because of the movement on his pitches, because a lot of his pitches move quite a bit with a lot of bite to them. But he did sit 90 to 92, touching 93. But his and he also displayed a pretty good curveball too. I know I was wondering why, because I know that a lot of people just had him as like a fastball changeup slider guy, but I was wondering why his slider was at 77, and I'm like, wait, no, that's a curveball. So I guess he now has a curveball, or he had one always, but yeah, he looked really good stuff-wise. It's just that command, that control really does need to be shored up. That's probably why he was back out here again. But once that is, he does have the stuff to really make a loud noise in the Mariners system, who already have some of the best pitching prospects, like, or I should say in the past have had some of the best pitching prospects, but now they're graduated and now they're in the Mariners rotation. But yeah, so Walter Ford was my first pitcher this week, and the second was a guy, Luigi Casilla of the Rockies, and I'm going to shout out my good buddy Alex Jensen on Twitter, who was constantly asking me about, I wouldn't say constantly, but he was asking me about Luigi Casilla because I would mention the Rockies, and he knows how much talent is out here for the ACL Rockies. But I finally was able to watch Luigi Casilla. And this was not really a good start for him. 2.2 innings pitched, 5 earned, 4 walks, 2 Ks. Control was subpar, but his curveball or slider, I'm pretty sure it was a curveball. He was facing a lefty in the Cubs lineup, and he threw that curveball back-to-back-to-back times. And that lefty whiffed all 3 times on it, and it wasn't even close. It was not even... It was a crazy pitch that he just like brought out of his pocket because he could not command his fastball. But overall, the stuff, it does look really good, even with the subpar command. And it's just something to dream on for Rockies fans, even though, you know, Coors Field is not a pitcher's paradise. But he is probably a future reliever because of that, the control issues. But man, he's a lefty that pumps 100. So that's really crazy to note. But finally, let's start wrapping down this podcast with our team to watch this week. And I'm going to go with the ACL Cubs. Because yesterday's game, Brewers and Cubs, probably the best game I've ever seen at Arizona Complex League. Scouting wise, it was horrible. There were 3 errors by the Brewers. There were like 17 total walks by both sides. There were 22 hits. Was not good baseball being played. But as like the fan side of me, it was an amazing game because at one point the Brewers were winning 8-2 over the ACL Cubs. And then all of a sudden you blink and it's 13-8 Cubs. Then the Brewers had an 8-run, like, I think bottom of the 6th or something. And it ended up being 16-13. That is when the Cubs came back at the top of the 7th and scored 4 runs and then kept them at bay. Ended up winning 17-16, which is absolutely insane. And by the way, that's 33 runs on only 22 hits, which is really crazy too. But much like the Dodgers, the Cubs have multiple top guys that can be considered for top prospects out here. I'm talking about Angel Cepeda, Yahil Melendez, and Joan Delgado. All have shown quite a bit for promise to start the ACL season. And I do want to mention, they also had a guy that I believe, if I just have to remember back, he was on my list last year for top guys out here. And I'm talking about Jose Escobar as well. I remember he was very hyped up last year for the Cubs as well. But just overall, the Cubs have quite a bit of talent. Dodgers have quite a bit of talent. There's so many teams out here that just have a lot of young but raw players that really could come into their own in the next couple of years. And it's just honestly so cool to watch some of these teams. even though it's been the past, they've been one of the worst teams out here. The ACL White Sox have quite a bit of talent out here, and I'm hoping to see them again. Like I said, only team that I have not seen is the ACL Athletics. But that will probably change in the next week because I know Jacob Wilson is out here on rehab assignment, and I want to go and see him, go see Openside. And I know that he's a hyped up prospect for the Athletics, and me going to GCU, Grand Canyon University. I know he's a massive guy to get footage on for, you know, little fanboys like me. Just kidding on that. But but overall, I thought that was a really fun podcast. I love doing this again. Prospectsworldwide.com. I'm starting to drop more scouting reports. I will have a list about at the end of Arizona Complex League, and one of the other writers will be joining me for a week out here in the next month or so. And it should be pretty interesting, it should be a pretty good time. I'll get rid of the interesting part because whenever he's here, it's never interesting. He's kind of boring. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all know it's Austin Farmer who's going to be coming out here and helping me out. And you guys, if you guys have watched Prospects Overload, that's just how we are. But I think it's time to end this. This has been Prospect Report presented by Prospects Worldwide. I'm your host, as always, Drake Mann. Follow me on Twitter at DrakeMann4. Go follow Prospects Worldwide on Twitter at ProspectsWorldW. Prospects Worldwide also has been putting some of our stuff on Instagram. We have more YouTube content coming. I actually took so many videos that I had to put stuff in our Google Drive because I ran out of storage on my phone. So I love the grind I'm doing. I love doing all this. I hope everybody has a nice and safe day. Just be kind to everybody. Have a great day, everybody. Peace.